Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight, we're going to be discussing how do we love ourselves spiritually according to the Word of God. But before we get started, I'd like to open with a word of prayer and a song of praise. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today, God. Father, I thank you for all of your grace and mercy that we've received today, God. Father, I thank you for how awesome you are in our life, God. Father, we praise you, we magnify you, we lift you up, God. You're greatly to be praised. There's no other like you in heaven or earth or under the earth, God. Father, we thank you for your word that you've given us, God, that we might not sin against you, God. Father, we thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, that you sent to die on Calvary for our sin and to be beat for our physical wholeness. And Father, we thank you for you having raised him from the dead after 3 days and three nights in the tomb so that we could then receive the Holy Spirit within us, once again, just as you originally created us before Adam sinned. Father, I thank you for you giving us a desire to share the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of your son, Jesus Christ, with others so that they can make your son their master and come into full relationship with you, just like we have, God. Father, I thank you for the word that goes forth tonight, freeing someone, strengthening someone, encouraging someone, empowering someone, and delivering someone so that they can live a more than abundant life for you. In the name of your son, Jesus Christ, amen. We're going to listen to the song of praise by Jason Nelson, Shifting the Atmosphere.
Every chain is broken.
Whenever things don't feel like you think they should, don't get mad. Don't cuss nobody out. Don't hang up the phone. Worship. If you could just get you out of the way enough to lift your hands and say, God, I need you right here. You'll be shifting the atmosphere. Cried myself to sleep. Don't know where my son is. He's been gone for 3 days. I may call the police. Yeah. But before I do, I'm going to lift my hands. Because in my worship, they'll find him alive and well. And you'll be shifting the atmosphere. Pain in my body. Doctors don't know what it is. They tell me just take this medication and that gives me another problem. And they say to take this and that gives me another problem. But the next time I go to the doctor, before I walk in the room, I lift my hands. And I'll be shifting the atmosphere. Breakthrough and healing. Our worship is shifting. Shifting. Shifting the atmosphere.
Welcome back to Spirit Alive Network Tuesday Night Teachings with your host, Lester Carver. Tonight we're going to be discussing how do we love ourselves spiritually according to the Word of God. But before we get started, I'd like to first give honor to the apostle of this network, Apostle Sherlene Cook, who is also over No Bounds Ministry. She's over the Spirit Alive Network as well. And the Spirit Alive Network has impacted and is present in the United States, in Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Ghana, Nigeria, Kenya, Zambia, South Africa, Spain, France, Ireland, the United Kingdom, the Netherlands, Germany, Austria, Hungary, the United Arab Emirates, India, Australia, South Korea, Japan, Russia, Norway, Sweden, and Finland. And I just want everyone in each one of those countries to know that we're praying fervently for you. We are going to be praying for you fervently this week as well. And we want you to be blessed with such a way that your life is transformed and you see yourself being connected to this heavenly kingdom of many nations that God is in the process of assembling now. But he is uniting us through the power of the Holy Spirit within us. And then he's energizing that with the full knowledge of his word and the power of the Holy Spirit. So tonight I want to get started talking about how do we love ourselves spiritually according to the word of God, because we know that it's a command of God that we love him with all of our mind, all of our heart, and all of our soul. But it's also a command from him that we love ourselves and that we love others. And when we understand that we can't love ourselves until we love God and we can't love others until we love ourselves, then we understand that all things must be done decently and in order. And many times, because we are physical beings first, when we think about loving ourselves, we believe that that happens in the five senses realm first. And quite honestly, you can't love yourself physically until you love yourself spiritually, because your relationship with God is what empowers you to love yourself physically. And so now we are going to get into what does the word of God say about ways that we can truly love ourselves spiritually and develop a more than abundant life and a quality of life spiritually in terms of our relationship with God that puts us in a place of favor, puts us in a place of privilege, puts us in a place of power and praise, and allows us to really glorify God in all that we do and acknowledge God in all that we do. Because, see, God is involved with every aspect of our life. God is involved with the smallest detail of your life, and God is involved with the really big things in our life as well. So I want to start tonight's teaching in the book of Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. And we're going to read in verse 6 where it says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." And this, to me, is a very important verse when we talk about being loving yourself spiritually, because it is that desire to hunger and thirst after righteousness that comes from God. That's a desire that comes from God. You know how the word says that when we delight in the Lord, that he gives us the desires of our heart, and one of these desires that he would give us is to hunger and thirst after righteousness. And it says we shall be filled when we hunger and thirst after righteousness. That is a promise from God. And so if you really want to begin loving yourself, then look for that hunger for righteousness. Look for that thirst for righteousness to purify yourself, to be better for God, so that when Jesus Christ returns, he returns seeing you at work for God, building the kingdom, winning souls, glorifying God, ministering to others, loving others, encouraging others, exhorting others. And that is going to be a blessing to you, because you're going to be intentionally living for God. Look at what it says here in Psalm 37, verse 4, it says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." See, when we delight ourselves in God, God gives us the desires of our heart. And what that literally means is that God puts the things on our heart to desire and to want that he desires for us to have. And that means that whatever desire God has placed on your heart, when you are delighting yourself in the Lord, those things must come to pass. Those things have to happen. And those things are going to get God glory, and they're going to expand the kingdom of God, because people are going to be able to see that God's promises are true. And see, when we prepare ourselves to be used by God in such a way, our life becomes dynamically transformed. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for our renewed mind to the Word of God, where we submit our will to God's will and replace what we think with what the Word of God says. We're looking for that renewed mind to transform our life from being circumstance conditioned and being subject to the rules of this world and being transformed into the kingdom, where we're walking in the authority that God has given us according to his word and according to the price that we are salvation with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. Look at what it says here in Psalm chapter 107, verse 9. Speaking of God, it says, "For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the soul with goodness." This speaks of your soul. It's speaking of your mind, your will, and emotion. And the soul that longs for God's presence, he fills. And the soul that hungers for God's presence, he fills with goodness. And that is something that we have to expect to come and seeking him and desiring him, expecting to be filled with goodness, because we hunger and thirst for the presence of the Lord. That's something we should look for, something that we should expect. And that is part of love and health, is seeking, desiring the things of God in such a way that we're praying, we're fasting, with believers, studying God's word, good news of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for their soul, for their deliverance, for their restoration. Look at what it says here in Psalm 103, verse 5. It satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. See, we have our mouth satisfied with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And, you know, this really didn't mean much to me when I was in my 20s and 30s and 40s even. But now that I'm in the middle of my 50s, this idea of my youth being renewed is a reality, in that I am feeling the pains that come with having a frame that has been functioning for so long and is beginning to feel the pain of just normal wear and tear, right? The pain of age. But God says that he satisfies our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. And one of the ways that he does this is by giving us the knowledge of what to eat, how to eat, when to eat, when not to eat, what to drink, what not to drink. See, our mouth is satisfied with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. One of the things this reminds me of is Daniel. And Daniel, when Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were assigned, they were going to be wise men for Nebuchadnezzar, and they had decided that they were not going to eat of the king's meats. They were going to fast what was called what we call a Daniel fast. And basically what happened was they ate no meat. They ate no sweets. They didn't eat any of the delicacies of the king. What they ate was fruit and vegetables. And the steward over them, who was preparing them to go into service for the king, had basically told them that he was going to be executed if he allowed them to do this, because it was going to appear that they were not eating properly, and he was the one to make sure that they were eating properly so they could serve him. And the wisdom to eat just fruit and vegetables came from God, came from the Holy Spirit. And the steward said, look, well, I'll let you do this for a little while. And Daniel said, look, let us do this for a little while. And if you see that we are suffering, then we'll go back to eating the way that you want us to eat. And it turned out that because they were just eating fruits and vegetables during this time, that they thrived and their mind was sharper. And it doesn't mean that we're not supposed to eat meat. It doesn't mean that we're not supposed to eat sweets ever. What it means is that there's a time to eat certain things. There's a time not to eat certain things. And there is knowledge gained by listening to the Holy Spirit tell us what to eat and what not to eat, what to buy and what not to buy. And being led by the Holy Spirit in details like this is one of the ways that our youth is renewed like the eagles, because basically your body is always regenerating itself. It's always being renewed, and it's using as building blocks whatever you're feeding it in order to build the future you. So your future bones, your future skin, your future eyes, your future hair, everything about you in the future is being rebuilt with what you're eating today, right? So he satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. So there are times when God has me go on a Daniel fast, and sometimes he just had me do that for as long as a year or more. And that is a time of giving my body rest from processing meat, rest from a whole lot of sugar. And it's a time of restoration so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. And if there was ever a time I need my youth renewed like the eagles, it's now in my mid-50s. Look at what it says here. And when we're loving ourselves, that's one of the ways we love ourselves, is making sure that we're drinking water, we're eating fruits and vegetables, we are resting, we are walking, we are minimizing stress by, and this is a spiritual key, minimizing rest and minimizing stress and maximizing restfulness by speaking in tongues as often as possible. When we speak in our heavenly prayer language, we are disengaging all of the concerns of this world, and we are reaching up into the heavens, and God is pouring down into us those words that we do not understand that need to go back into the heavenlies to fulfill whatever purpose God has for them to fulfill in the heavenlies. But that process allows us to place all of our cares and concerns on him so that he handles the things that we do not know about. He handles the things that we do not even understand or could comprehend, because we don't know the future. Only God knows the future. And when we give those things to God through speaking in our heavenly prayer language and being at peace, resting in the Lord, that's one of the ways that we are transformed, because we are no longer circumstance conditioned. We are transformed as we renew our mind to the Word of God and obey God. by speaking to him often. And when we speak to him in our heavenly prayer language of speaking in tongues, we're building up our inner man, our most holy faith. We are interceding for the things. We are God praise and perfect prayer. And we are glorifying God. We're speaking mysteries to God, all of these things. And when we do this, it is going to bless us, going to restore us. It's one of the ways that we truly love ourselves. So look at this. Here is another key in Joel chapter 2, verse 26. It says, "And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." And, you know, it's interesting here because I know that there are some countries in the world where there is plenteous food. There's food, more food than you could ever imagine. And so you have to be very selective about what you choose to eat. I live in a place in the United States where virtually anything that we wanted to eat, we have access to. And that is a challenge because if you eat too much of the wrong things, then you're going to be rebuilding your future you with the wrong stuff, and you're not going to be as blessed as you would be as if you ate better quality things. Well, this says, "Ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed." So no matter where you are, this promise is to you. And your expectation to eat in plenty and to be satisfied and to praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And it says, "My people shall never be ashamed." My people shall never be disappointed in their expectations. And see, your expectation is that your God, the creator of the heavens and earth, will make provision for you in even the most meager of circumstances, in even the most critical of situations, in the most devastating climate. Your God can provide and will provide for you when you believe in him, when you rely on him, when you trust in him, when you serve him, when you obey him, when you please him. And see, leaning on God is exactly what he wants you to do. He wants you to be in his presence and yearn for him. And see, part of loving yourself is desiring to be in the presence of God. And God says, "You'll eat in plenty, and you will be satisfied, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you." You're not going to take God for granted in your life, and that's one of the ways that we love ourselves also spiritually, is by not taking God for granted and praising the name of the Lord our God and acknowledging his goodness in our life that allows us to eat in plenty and be satisfied. Look at what it says in John chapter 6, verse 35. It says, "And Jesus saith unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believe on me shall never thirst." Now, we understand that Jesus Christ allows us to have access to the more than abundant life through his death, burial, and resurrection, through his obedience to God in all things, even unto death, the death of the cross. And after having been crucified, he was laid in a stone tomb for 3 days and three nights. And after 3 days and three nights in a stone tomb, he was raised. God raised him from the dead, seated him at his own right hand, gave him all power in heaven and earth and under the earth, and then sent the Holy Spirit, the comforter, the teacher, the guide, to dwell within you and I so that we could live a more than abundant life. And in this way, Jesus Christ is the bread of life, and he that comes to Jesus Christ will never hunger. He that believes on Jesus Christ will never thirst. And God is faithful to fulfill his promise. And so we have to be in that place where we seek Jesus Christ, the bread of life. We come to him and understand that the promise to us when we come to Jesus Christ and make him the Lord of our life and our master is that we become children of God, children of the Most High, and we will never thirst. And those that believe on God's Son, Jesus Christ, will never thirst, and we will never hunger. Look at what it says in Psalm 22:26. It says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. And see, seeking the Lord is key. It says, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. So those of us who are humble to God and submit to the authority of his Son, Jesus Christ, we will eat and be satisfied. We will praise the Lord and seek him. Our heart shall live forever. And if this is the promise, then that's what we should walk into. Look at what it says in John chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. It says, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And see, she was coming to get water from a cistern. And Jesus said unto her, hey, whoever drinks of this water is going to thirst again. Speaking of physical water. But he said, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, the water of life, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And I want you to understand that that well of water within you, that fountain of water, is springing up from your belly. And that is you speaking in tongues and allowing the overflow of what God is pouring into you to come out of you and go back into the heavenly. See, it's an unlimited fountain of living water that flows down from heaven into you and back up in the heaven. And we are seated in the heavenlies with Christ Jesus, and we are having an impact in the heavenlies when we are speaking in our heavenly prayer language, when we are speaking in tongues. And it sounds silly. It doesn't make sense to the five senses of man. And that's why I'm not talking to the five senses of man. I'm talking to those who believe to receive the power of the Holy Spirit in their life so that they can use and do, and they can praise the Lord by seeking him and allowing our heart to live forever and know that Jesus Christ is that water. He is the water that, it's the water that we receive from him that will be in us springing up into everlasting life. And so as we are speaking in our heavenly prayer language, we are giving back to God what we're receiving from God, and we're building up our inner man on our most holy faith. And that is our power. That is what quenches our spiritual thirst and allows us to truly love ourselves spiritually. Look at what it says here in Joel chapter 2, verse 19. It says, yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. And I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. See, God's children were given a promise in the Old Testament, God told his people, the children of Israel, that he selected from among mankind at that time. He said, I set before you life and death. I set before you blessing and cursing. And then he told them to choose life and blessing. But he told them, if you choose death and cursing, this will happen to you. And if you choose life and blessing, this is what would happen to you. And what was supposed to happen with God's people in the Old Testament was if they chose life and blessing and obeyed God's law, then what was supposed to happen was the overflow from God's people in the Old Testament was supposed to overflow into all of the other nations. What happened instead was that God's people chose death and cursing. And as a result, they ended up in captivity and bondage multiple times. And God still restored them. God still strengthened them. God still rebuilt their city and their temple and their wall so that he showed his faithfulness to them even in the midst of their unfaithfulness. Well, we can be the same way at many times, but what this verse is speaking of here is that he says, I will never have reproach among the heathen. See, because of their disobedience, they were a reproach among the heathen because they said, these people, we don't know any group of people who change gods. We don't know of any group of people who go whoring after other nations' gods the way that these children of Israel have been doing. See, that's not normal. But God is saying to them, look, I am the one who's going to send you corn. I'm going to send you wine. I'm going to send you oil. He's going to let them experience his hand of goodness so that they can be satisfied. And he said, I'm going to make you no more, no longer a reproach among the heathen. I'm going to restore you. And when God says he's going to restore you, then that restoration is absolute. So whatever your past was, God's desire is to restore you and to establish you and to create for you a future that is good because he called you before the foundation of the earth. Look at what it said. It says in Isaiah chapter 58, verses 10 and 11. It says, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then thy light shall rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. So we are supposed to draw out our soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. And I really, really have, I remember how when I was in the Holy Land, I was in Israel in 2005, and I had a budget, and I messed my budget up giving money to the beggars and the poor and those that sought gifts. And it made my latter days there kind of tight because I spent my money that I should have been managing on giving. But this says that when we draw out our soul to the hungry, when we allow ourselves to be emptied out, and we satisfy the afflicted soul, and we share of what we have with those who are in need, it says, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, will be seen from God, and thy darkness shall be as noonday, as the noonday will be bright, and the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought. So if there's a drought where you are, it won't affect you. Your soul will be satisfied because you're the one who's meeting the needs of the hungry and the afflicted, right? And God says, look, when you're doing my work, then I'm going to take care of you. And he'll make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And this thing about the spring of water whose waters fail not keeps coming up. It's a fountain, you know. It is unlimited. It is always fresh. It is always moving. It is always being renewed by an unlimited supply. And when the unlimited supplier is God Almighty, then you better believe that it's the best. It's the most refreshing. And when people meet and experience us and the power of the Holy Spirit that flows through us, then they are experiencing the best of God, the overflow of God's goodness from our life into their life. And we never have to worry about being without because we serve a God who owns everything because he created everything. So now the question is, how are we going to distribute? How are we going to use all that God has given us? There's a Jewish proverb that says that there's a poor man who has everything he owns in his hands, and it's the best of everything he owns, very valuable stuff, but it is only as much as he can hold on to and protect. And then there's a rich man, a king, whose hands are empty, they're wide open, who simply calls and points and directs and has things come to him and go from him and continually because he has so much that he doesn't have to hold anything. And the principle that I see there is that when you understand that all things are God's, whatever you need to do what God has called you to do, it is God's job to get that provision to you so that you can draw out your soul to the hungry, so that you can satisfy the afflicted soul. You can share in the work of God, and then God can bless you in such a way that you are that water garden. You are that spring of water whose waters fail not. Look at what it says here in Psalm chapter 145, verses 15 and 16. It says, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. And this is speaking about God. The eyes of all wait upon thee. See, that's the beast. That's the birds. That is the fowl of the sea. That is the fish of the sea. That is people. That is everything. The eyes of every living thing wait upon God, and God gives them their meat in due season at the appointed time. And God opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. That every living thing, that would be plants and animals. That's amazing and true. And when we understand the unlimited riches of God, then we know who we serve, and we understand that whatever God desires for us to have, he can and will make available to us because he's not only able, but he's willing to make the best available to us, as he said in Isaiah 58, where he said that he would satisfy our soul in drought and make fat our bones, and water us like a garden, and make us like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Look at what it says in Isaiah 55:2. It says, wherefore do ye spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. And see, this goes against so many things in our modern culture, where this desire to be skinny and almost at the edge of death is somehow desirable, when God is saying, look, why are you wasting your money on what's not food, what is not bread, and you're wasting your labor for that which doesn't satisfy? He says, hearken diligently unto me, hearken unto God, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. See, let your soul delight itself in fatness. Now, this isn't encouraging you to be obese. What this is doing is saying, look, eat the best. If you're going to spend your money on making sure that you have the best food, right? And you can sort that out these days, literally. From a global market, you can find the best cinnamon, the best honey, the best lemon juice, the best olive oil, the best wine, the best bread. You can seek these things out and have them delivered to you in many places. I know in the United States, we can have anything delivered to us at any time. Look at what it says here in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 14. It says, and I will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and my people shall be satisfied with my goodness, saith the Lord. And see, once again, he will satiate the soul of the priests with fatness, and his people shall be satiated by his goodness, saith the Lord. Now, this is important because it is the job of the priest to care for the people. And as the priests care for the people and the people are satisfied with God's goodness, then the priests are also satisfied with fatness, is what it says here, right? Look at what it says here in Psalm 63, verses 5 and 6. It says, my soul shall be satisfied as with a marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. So spiritually, see, the More Than Abundant Life has five components. The first is spiritual. And your relationship with God, as I mentioned before, spiritually, by being in his presence, by speaking in tongues, by fasting, by praying, by fellowshipping with like-minded believers, by studying God's word, praying and praising, worshiping God. These things develop your spiritual relationship with God. Then, as a result of studying God's word, that mental wholeness, that is a form of restoration, because now that you are studying God's word and engaging the power of the Holy Spirit through speaking in tongues, you are renewing your mind and replacing what you think and what you feel and what you believe with what the Word of God says. And that is going to affect the next area of your life that needs wholeness, is your emotional wholeness. Your emotional wholeness is going to be developed as a result of your mental wholeness being developed by replacing what you thought, what you feel, what you believe with what the Word of God says. And then connecting to that Holy Spirit within you because of your spiritual wholeness. Your spiritual wholeness and your mental wholeness is going to impact your emotional wholeness, which is going to allow you to be at rest, allow you to be at peace, allow you to be functioning and operating in love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, goodness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control. You're going to be fruitful in your life spiritually, and that is going to allow you to walk into true physical wholeness. See, because when you're at peace and when you're at rest and your emotional wholeness and your mental wholeness and your spiritual wholeness is now resulting in your physical wholeness, where you're tapping into the promise and payment for your physical wholeness with the bruises, the stripes that Jesus Christ took at Calvary, the beatings he took. He was beat to a pulp, even though no bones were broke. Everything else the devil was able to emaciate. And in doing so, the stripes and the punishment for mankind's sin was taken by God's Son, Jesus Christ. And that was a payment for our physical wholeness. And when we receive that, then as a result of our spiritual wholeness, and then our mental wholeness, and then our emotional wholeness, and then our physical wholeness, then we walk into our financial wholeness. And see, when people talk about the more than abundant life, most people are just talking about financial wholeness. They're talking about money. They're talking about things. They're talking about cars and houses and a bunch of stuff that have nothing to do with anything. God is telling you that the more than abundant life is you having your hands wide open, being prepared to serve him, receiving his spiritual wholeness, his mental wholeness, his emotional wholeness, his physical wholeness, and his financial wholeness for you, so that you can receive from God at any time, distribute as required, use what is needed in order to build the kingdom and draw all nations unto him, so that he can build this heavenly kingdom of many nations. And so that what it says here in Psalm 63, 5 and 6, our soul shall be satisfied with the marrow and fatness, and our mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. So what's on our mind is God and God's hand in our life and God's provision in our life. Now, when we look at what God has achieved through the obedience of his Son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary, and the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ, for our physical wholeness, so that we could have the Holy Spirit within us and we too could be children of God. Look at what it says here in Romans chapter 8, verse 32. It says, and he, God, spared not his own Son. He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So it's hard sometimes to imagine God giving us things that we never thought were available to us. And God says to us here in Romans 8:32, he that spared not his own Son, he gave us his best and his first when he gave us his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. He says he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? After giving us his Son, Jesus Christ, what would he possibly withhold from us? And so now we have to reject the lies of the devil that say that certain things are not available to us because we are of certain backgrounds. We live in certain countries. We live in certain places. We are related to certain tribes and clans and groups. And God says to us, you're part of the body of Christ now. Whatever you were before that is no more. Now you're part of the most powerful, most relevant, most only eternal organism, the body of Christ, that is going to dominate in eternity and now. And now we have to walk into those promises according to the standard of the Word of God. And when we do that, everything changes. See, our level of expectation has to come up to the true power and magnitude of the Word of God so that we stop tiptoeing around God's promises and we walk into the fullness of the power of the Word of God and take the Word of God as the commandment that it is. It is a command to receive the blessings of God. And when you understand that it is a command that you love God, it is a command that you love yourself, it is a command that you love others. And when you obey God's commands, then God blesses you. God blesses you with a more than abundant life. Spiritually, a more than abundant life. Mentally, a more than abundant life. Emotionally, a more than abundant life. Physically, a more than abundant life. Financially, so that you can truly be the hand of God to those in need. And as you begin to provide and distribute to others and become the hand of God in the lives of others, when they experience God's goodness through you, then they start seeking God's face. They start seeking relationship with God. And you know what happens then? They learn to distribute like you. They learn to love themselves like you love yourself. They learn to love others like you love others, because they see how you love God and they love God, and then they love themselves and then they love others, and all of a sudden they're distributing like you're distributing. That's the impact we're supposed to have as the body of Christ on one another. In the Acts 2 church, that's what they were known for. They were notorious. There was no one in the body of Christ who had lack. There was no one in the body of Christ who had need. And that wasn't because there were people who they only let people in the body of Christ who had no lack and no need. That's not why that happened. Why it happened was because when they came and made Jesus Christ Lord of their life, they sold what they had, and then they made sure that every other Christian had what they needed to wear, had what they needed to have shelter, had what they needed to eat. And everyone had all things in common. And everyone who called themselves a Christian and said that Jesus Christ was the Lord of their life and their master had provision. Look at what it says here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That's important. That is fundamental to your Christian walk, to your Christian understanding, is understanding that our God shall supply all of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So when we talk about riches, we can't even measure worldly riches by God's riches. God's riches are unlimited. And so this says that God shall supply all of our need according to his riches and glory by his son Jesus Christ. And when we understand this and when we believe this, then we are expecting God to provide for all of our need. And then when he does provide, then we can testify of God's goodness and his provision to others by distributing and releasing and giving into the lives of those who are in need and are hungry. Look at what it says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." But before this, Apostle Paul says, he learned to abound in little and he learned to abound in much. And see, it's not a matter of what we have or what we don't have. We are abounding in the presence of God in our life, no matter what we have or do not have. See, because when I empty myself out and I release all that God has given me, two things are happening. someone is experiencing the goodness of the hand of God in their life, and I am preparing myself to receive something new from God that is fresh by releasing whatever's in my hand today right now to someone else, or using it to satisfy my own need and do what I need to do. And I'm not worried about God's ability to provide more, because he owns everything. It's all his, right? And he promises here that he's going to supply all of my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, right? So when we say that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, that's real. And we learn to abound in little. We learn to abound in much. We learn to abound in lack. We learn to abound in prosperity, because God's present in all of those dimensions of our life. We are never in a situation where we don't have what we need, because the presence of God is always enough. It's always enough. It's always more than enough. And so now, and I want to, before I go any further, I want to speak about this a little more to let you know that even if you're a Christian and someone were to incarcerate you or place you in a cell or a dungeon or a pit, and you simply had food and water, maybe not even that, water, and held you in there for a period of time, you would come out better than you went in there. Because while you were in that place, it wouldn't just be you. It would be you and God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And you would be speaking in tongues in your most holy prayer language and building your inner man up. And you would come out better than you went into that hole or that dungeon or that cell. But if you were not saved and you were in that dungeon and that cell and that hole, that pit, you would implode. You would go crazy, because your mind would not be in a place of receiving that spiritual water that never causes you to thirst, right? That word from God, that manna from God that allows you to build up your inner man in such a way that you are always coming closer and closer and closer in a relationship with God, no matter what's going on around you. See, that's how we are no longer circumstance conditioned. The power of the Holy Spirit within us is real. And that's why it's essential that you believe to manifest the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's important to believe to speak in tongues, to believe to prophesy, to believe to speak in tongues and interpret tongues, to believe to receive word of knowledge, to believe to receive word of wisdom, to believe to receive discerning of spirits, to believe to operate supernatural acts of faith, to believe to operate supernatural miracles, to believe to perform gifts of healing, acts of healing in the lives of others. See, when we are operating the power of the Holy Spirit, we are preparing ourselves to produce more fruit and much fruit and exceedingly much fruit in our life. And that fruit is going to look like love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, and self-control, no matter what circumstance we're in. And that is what displays the power of God in the earth. Look at what it says in Romans 8:37. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us, right? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. That is one of the ways that we love ourselves, is by confessing what the Word confesses, which is the fact that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. When we think of conquerors, we think of people like Napoleon. We think of people like Shaka Zulu. We think of people like General Patton. We think of these people who were people like Caesar, historical figures, right? These were conquerors. And it says to us, we are more than conquerors through Christ, through Him who loved us. And we have to walk into that. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 21 to 23. It says, therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. See, the chain of ownership. A chain of ownership. So none of us glory in men. All things are ours through the power of the Holy Spirit within us. See, the power of the Holy Spirit within you is a level playing field, because it's the same power in each one of us. And as we believe to operate that power, then we walk into that level of purpose and praise and power that God has appointed us to fulfill in our life for Him. And He knows what we will believe to do before we believe to do it. But you better believe that if God gives you the desire to do something, He's given you the power to do it and the resources to get it done. And so that means you got to walk into that and stop thinking that other people are more qualified than you to do what God has given you to do, because it's the same power of the Holy Spirit in them that is in you. It's a matter of you believing and receiving the promise that God has given you and the desires God has placed on your heart and the opportunities that He's created that only you can fulfill. See, only you have been placed in the family you've been placed in the neighborhood you've been placed in the nation you've been placed in. And when you operate in the place God has placed you, then you don't have to worry about trying to be like somebody else. It says, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether of Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God. And actually, say ye are Christ, that's plural, and Christ is God, the chain of ownership. All things are yours, ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. So look at what it says here in John 15, verse 7. It says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. That is powerful. And see, we have to begin to really believe this word of God and walk on it. And it's too easy to call yourself a believer. But when you actually begin believing and you allow yourself to abide in Christ and Christ's words to abide in you, the promise that here says that we will ask what we will and it shall be done unto you. That's a powerful promise, a powerful truth, a powerful reality. You might want to test that out. Look at what it says in the Gospel of John chapter 16, verse 23 and 24. It says, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. And see, this is a powerful thing that you have to realize and understand, is Jesus Christ was saying this before he was crucified. Jesus Christ was saying this before he was raised from the dead and seen at the right hand of God, before he sent the Holy Spirit to dwell within you and I. And Jesus Christ was telling his disciples at that time, he told them, look, he said, in that day, you're not going to ask me anything. You're going to be able to go directly to God. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. So when we pray, when we ask God for things, when we make our petitions to God, we are to ask them in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. It says, I say unto you, Jesus Christ is saying this, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. That's important. So if we're not getting answers to our prayer, it's because we're not going directly before the throne of God and asking him for what we need in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. It says, hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name, because Jesus Christ had not yet fulfilled his assignment. He said, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. That is a command from Jesus Christ. He said, ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. So if you love yourself, part of loving yourself according to the scripture is asking so that you can receive, so that your joy may be full. And when we ask God, we go before the throne of God boldly. We ask him for what he's put on our heart, the desires of our heart, what we need, what we want. And it says, ye shall receive. We have to ask him in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, though. It reminds me of how if you ever sent a letter anywhere, and you put it in without putting any postage on it, you don't put a stamp on it, it'll come back to you, return the sender. And when you pray, and you don't pray in the name of Jesus Christ, it's like just talking to God. It's like sending a letter and not putting a stamp on it, not posting it. It's going to come back to you. You have to pay the postage, right? Well, because God has paid for you to be able to come before his throne boldly at all times and make your request known to him, all that's been prepaid. But you still have to call on that name. You have to make your request known to God in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ says, whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he will give it you. So if you're not asking God for what you need in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, that's one reason why you may not be getting answers to your prayer. But when we do ask God in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, for what we need, it says that ye shall receive, that our joy may be full. That is a promise from God. You need to know that. You need to stand on that. That's in the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 23 to 24. Look at what it says here in Matthew 21, 22. It says, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. See, prayer is going to God in grateful language, worshipfully, making our request known to him, and giving him thanksgiving. And when we ask God in prayer and we believe, and part of praying, as we read before, was asking God in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And when we believe, we shall receive. That is absolute in both of these verses. We shall receive. We shall receive. He shall give it to us. See, he will give it to us. It shall be done unto you. See, all of these verses are absolutes. They're not maybes or possiblys or perhaps. It says, ye shall, he will, ye shall. We have to walk into that. So Mark 21, 22, take some time with that. Look at what it says in Mark 11, 24. It says, Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Ye shall have them, absolutely, when you pray. Look what it says in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Now, if you've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places by the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we need to act like it. We need to begin distributing those blessings to others so that they can be spiritually blessed, right? But people are not concerned about being spiritually blessed until they have what they need. And so when you're dealing with people in the world who got called before the foundation of the world, they need to experience your goodness. They need to experience God's hand through you as you distribute, as you make God's goodness known unto them through your obedience to God and your willingness to distribute to those who are in need. Look at what it says in 1 John 3:22. It says, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. See, and this is 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. This is in the New Testament. And, you know, we talk ourselves out of so much of what God is telling us to do and not understand that a command from God is a command from God. It's not a suggestion. It's not optional. No, God's not going to twist your arm and make you do stuff. But if you want to be blessed, if you want to live more than abundant life, if you want to receive the rewards in eternity that God has for you, then, and if you want this promise here, whatsoever you ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments. We do what he commands us to do. It's very clear. And do those things that are pleasing in his sight. See, the power of the Holy Spirit is within you so that you can pull that off. You can actually do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You can keep his commandments. And then you know that whatever you ask of God, you receive of him, because you're doing what he requires, right? Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us. God made Jesus Christ to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus Christ was without sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we have to understand, yeah, we used to be sinners. But through the blood of Christ, God made us to be the righteousness of God through having made his own son who was sinless to be sin for us, so that Christ died in our stead. Christ paid our debt for our sin on the cross so that we wouldn't have to. And God and the devil, through false humility and pride, will cause you to try to pay for what God already paid for with the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why I believe God had the temple destroyed in 70 AD after the crucifixion, where there were no more offerings for sin after Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, because the ultimate payment for sin and atonement for sin was made with the perfect blood and the broken body of God's son, Jesus Christ. See, if the temple was still there, children of Israel probably would have been tempted to continue offering sacrifices after Jesus Christ was offered up. And that would have been unacceptable, because Jesus Christ was the end of the law. He was the last blood sacrifice for our sin that was required. Look at what it said in Philippians 1:21. It says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, right? So we don't live in fear. We focus on Christ and what he's given us to do. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So we, if we're loving ourselves, we don't have to take mental health breaks with our counselor rehearsing all the bad things that ever happened to us to try to understand how we got like this. Sin is what got us like whatever we were before we were saved. And the blood of Christ made us something else. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And if the devil is trying to lock you into some prison of your past, it's because you have not received the forgiveness that comes from God and through believing. And then you have not forgiven others. And see, the only reason you would not forgive others is because you would not receive God's forgiveness for yourself. Understanding that no one has transgressed against you as badly as you have transgressed against God during the course of your whole life. So God says, if you want to receive my forgiveness for everything, then you're going to forgive everybody of everything. And that's the deal. Look at what it says then. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You have to be that new creature. You have to understand old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. No matter what happened in your past, let it go, forget it, and move on. And that sounds harsh, but that's real. Spiritually, if you're going to love yourself. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, the power of the Holy Spirit, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. See, Jesus Christ brought much glory to God, and so should we. And God is able, look what it says in 2 Corinthians 9:8. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And this last verse, Psalm 68:19, blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. And that's what a great place to end. I just want to encourage each and every one of you to receive all of God's goodness in your life and understand that we bless God, who daily loads us with benefits. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that's going out tonight. I thank you for you blessing someone, for you touching them, for you allowing them to have a great sleep this evening, God. Father, I thank you for you preparing for a great day tomorrow and going before them in all things and allowing them to be blessed in you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, amen. And as always, from Spirit Alive Network with your host, Lester Carver, with Tuesday Night Teachings, Be Ye Transformed.
Love to encourage me. keeping my heart down.
Give me the word,
give me the word
that
will send me.
Oh my, words
on the wings of a falling
Holy Spirit. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide and let your word abide.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
In my heart.
Give me your holy word. If I can hear from you,
if I can hear,
then I'll know what
to do.